Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Blake are back, and today we are digging deeper into episode number 12 of Survivor 49. We are joined by Adam Klein, who is here to break down and dig deeper into last night's episodes. I have not heard from Adam pretty much all season, so I don't know his thoughts on what's been going on for season 49. So this is going to be fresh and new for me, just like it is going to be for all of you. I'm excited to hear what you say. I also have Sophie Bellarity's tweets from last night ready to go to be dissected and critiqued by the two of us, or the three of us. Adam, welcome. What are you thinking? We only got one episode left. How are you feeling?
I mean, it's been a good season. It hasn't been an amazing season. There's been some fun moves down the stretch. There's a little bit of a slow start, but I do think that people are, you know, a little bit hard on the players themselves. I do think that for most of the season, the players have been playing pretty well. It just doesn't always make for great television. And I do think there are a few blunders along the way that have sort of really wrecked people's brains. But like early on when you had like the two tribes sort of going after each other and sticking with their tribes and that sort of thing, look, it's not always great television, but sometimes that is the right move. And so, you know, every once in a while, when you have a show that is not, scripted and that is not like the producers just deciding whatever's going to happen, you have to be okay with every once in a while having a season where people are acting in their best interest. And that doesn't make for the most exciting, dynamic gameplay. I know Jeff is always pushing, you have to make big moves. You have to make big moves. But that's not always the way to win. So I've been enjoying this season. I think the characters are great. I think that some of the strategy is a little bit slow. But, you know, I always like Survivor. I will always love Survivor. So I don't know. I've been having fun. I know people are pretty down on it, but.
Are you going to be able to come in with hot takes that we can use for social media like your buddy Ethan Zahn did this past
week?
What
did Ethan do?
Did you not see this?
No. What did he say?
He went on Tyson's podcast and I actually think this is a pretty fair point, but I think that, you know, he might have nailed this in a way a lot of people haven't been able to. He said that a lot of people spend so much time and energy getting onto the show that the win feels like getting on the show more than the $1 million sometimes.
No.
Adam's done. I love it. You calling Ethan right now?
Yeah, that's my hot take, is that Ethan's hot take is wrong.
Mm.
There's okay. Look, they're all trying to win. They all
are they?
Yes. I really believe that they are all trying to win. I just think people make mistakes.
I feel like if you were sitting in one of these chairs, though, Adam, you don't let Rizzo stand up with an idol 7 times in a row and play you for a fool.
You think that Rizzo has no chance of winning, which is what I think they think.
But
how about that?
Okay. I like that, but some of these people have extremely bad reads and they're being explained to by, like, whenever we have the spaghetti analogy, because everything has to be analogy instead of being like, I actually think Christina's playing a bad game. It's like, no, she's throwing spaghetti. This isn't her bowl of spaghetti. I think these people that are against Rizzo and Savannah and Sophie don't have the strategical acumen or like how to maneuver around and are all very self-serving, which kind of sucks whenever it's like, if all the best players link up together and go to the finals together, that does feel like, oh, wait, the 3 best players made it to the end, but then those 2 other players that aren't going to win made a wrong decision and took somebody that's going to beat them. Mm-hmm. So it is like a whole bunch of like, is this good gameplay or not?
Well, right or wrong, my take, and it makes everything make sense if you think about it this way, is that they are not threatened by Sophie and they are not threatened by Rizzo winning the game. Right. And the only person on that side that threatens them is the one person who happens to nearly every time not be eligible to be eliminated. Right. And so when she keeps winning, they're like, look, I eventually need to get rid of Steven on my side because I can't beat him. I also can't beat Savannah and she's not on my side. So it would be much better to get rid of her first while I have Steven as a number. But if I can't beat both of them, mm-hmm. it's a risk as well to leave Steven in the game to vote out somebody that you think you have the chance to beat at the end. I mean, this is, I see Sage as a pretty smart player and she's not making the move that is going to please the audience, but she is thinking, I think, I cannot beat Steven. I cannot beat Savannah. So what is the path to the end where they both go? And when you have a shot at Steven, a clear one, then you take it. Again, whether this is right or wrong,
So Will made the argument last night. I think Will did a very good job, which Will doesn't get compliments from me. So everybody take this and take it for what it is. But I think he did a very good job last night of saying how this is actually a very smart move by Sage to vote out Steven last night. I know a lot of people were saying this was stupid. Feels like the final nail in the coffin. But like Will said last night, if she loses the game, it's not because of this move here. She lost the game earlier. Right? She already lost it. But then I was thinking about this.
The MC vote, I think, was a big mistake.
Yeah, and we talked about that a lot, how when Savannah showed up, the only move there was to just throw all the votes on Rizzo anyway and hope that he goes
home. You
don't even
need all of them, just 2 of them.
Yeah.
Just one and Sage should have voted for Rizzo.
Yeah, that's it. Because they knew they weren't in danger of going home. The alternate vote was the MC. Like, it made sense. And so that's
and Sophie. And it's, I think maybe Juwan would have preferred to have Sophie out over MC. And so if you throw 2 on Rizzo, he plays the idol. Now you have to re-vote between MC and Sophie. And if you want, maybe you can have Sophie go instead of, although they were saying they wanted to keep Sophie because she was going to go with them.
Yeah. So, yeah, she was a bigger target, whatever. But
over Sophie, but still.
Here's my problem with this. If she needs Steven and she needs Savannah out of the game, I understand she needs both of them out. And I was agreeing with Will last night, but the more I've thought about this now and the more I've seen exit press from Steven saying Rizzo doesn't really seem like he's a threat, or at least that's not what he exactly says, but that's what he's implying. When you hear Adam, you just said it. They're thinking Rizzo can't win the game. Here's my problem with the move last night. If you need to get rid of Savannah and Steven both, but you think you can beat Rizzo and your Sage, couldn't it have made sense to still vote out Sophie last night because there's still 2 people you can beat? right? You think that Rizzo's idol expires last night. So good lie by Rizzo, all of that. But at least you're going into Final Five with a 3-2 advantage. Instead, she's going into Final Five with a 3-2 disadvantage, with her closest ally being Christina, who most people would probably rather sit next to at the end. And here's the other thing I will say. Now, even though she didn't know, you know, in retrospect, now she'll look and say, crap, this hidden idol, Rizzo just played me. She called him a turd last night. I love that. But it's like, that idol can now be played at five. So Rizzo's safe. The favorite to win immunity is Savannah. So if you're Sage, the way you win this game is you convince Sophie that the best way for her to win is to sit at the end with Christina and Sage. That's how you win if you're Sage. You need to convince Sophie to get there with you. But it might not be, it might not matter going into this week, because if Savannah wins immunity and Rizzo has an idol, guess what? Sophie doesn't have a decision to make. She's not voting herself out. So bye-bye Sage or bye-bye Christina. That's how it has to go. And that's why I think if she had gotten rid of, and maybe this is because we have more information, but I still think like with the Final Five, Final Six lie, we can talk about that. But if last night she had gotten rid of Sophie, she's going in with a 3-2 advantage, knowing she needs to get rid of Steven and she needs to get rid of Savannah. Who's the best chance to beat Savannah? It's Steven. Who's the best chance to beat Steven? It's Savannah. At the next tribal, one of them, or at the next immunity challenge, one of them is going to lose. They will be vulnerable at that tribal council. You will vote them out. Now you are sitting in Final Four with just one of those people, and you have a shot to at least make fire to get there. I just think that that's better odds. I feel like right now she's going home. She's the 3-2 vote at the next tribal.
You're using your same arguments to like defend your position and also attack the other one. Let me see if I can make sense of this and why what you're saying doesn't really make sense, because you're saying it's so crazy to leave Savannah in at the Final Five when she can still win immunity. But your argument is let's bring one of them to the Final Four when they can still win immunity.
I think she can beat Steven though. And that's, I guess, where I'm in the dark here is I think Savannah is really her biggest threat, because I think if she sits next to Steven, her and Steven played very similar games. And I actually think she's better liked than
Steven. Do you think there's a better chance of beating Steven at the Final Four than there is at beating Savannah at the Final Five or the Final Four?
Yes. And I no, but no. What my argument isn't that she can beat Steven at Final Four. I think she can beat Steven at Final Three. I don't think she can beat Savannah at Final Three.
No.
So I think by getting rid of Steven here, she's the target. You think that's wrong? Okay.
Yes. I think Steven wins in the Final Three. I think they, the fact that they're
crossing himself. Look what you did to us, Adam.
Wait, why? What did I just say?
I am glad Steven lost last night, because I think a final tribal council where he was talking as defending his game would have killed me. Of like, why? Just whenever he starts off the episode last night where he goes, I am so sad that we lost. Just kidding. I'm absolutely freaking pumped. I was like, kill me, dude. Like, if all of the stuff that's going on in his head to be cheeky for a final tribal, I'm like, I'm glad we got to skip that. I'm sure we'll get it in his question instead of it just being like, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, like he is so himself and hokey in that thought process, and it is him, but I'm glad that it's like, okay, that's going to be a question instead of the whole kit and caboodle that day.
I just tend to put a lot of credence in how are the players viewing the hierarchy. And if they're all saying we can't beat Steven, they're probably right.
But they've also all been saying they can't beat Savannah.
And
they also said they couldn't beat Sophie Segretti. I guess that's right. But like,
and they're probably right.
And so my thing is, though, I mean, look, you're an Australian Survivor fan. Mm-hmm. You don't think Sage has the Christy Bennett type arc here if she sits at final to sit next to somebody who played a very similar game and say, here's why I'm the better player. Like, I think she played a better game than Steven. Now, maybe Steven is more social than her, and maybe he's in better with the jury. But at the same time, when he made that shin comment, not only did I hear Blake from Florida, I'm in Florida, he's in California, not only did I hear him groan at that shin comment last night, that analogy
too.
The whole jury did. And the jury's rolling its eyes at Rizzo.
Right.
The jury's rolling its eyes at Steven. The jury's not rolling its eyes at Sage. Instead, Juwan's sitting up there showing off the guns because he's so pumped that that's happening. So I feel like Sage almost underestimated her win equity here. And you always, I know that this is like how you have to play Survivor, right? David Wright probably beats you in Millennials vs. Gen X, right? Definitely. Is that a fair statement?
Definitely beats me.
But he can't beat you if he's not at Final Tribal.
Right.
And so that's where I worry with Sage here is you make the move to get rid of Steven, but you are down 3-2 at this point.
But it's so much harder to get rid of Dave Wright if we were playing today at the Final Four, because not only do we have to beat him in immunity, we also have to beat him in fire. So it's a lot more difficult to get out the threat at Final Four. You used to be able to take a big threat to Final Four and you team up and you hope that they lose immunity and you take them out. That's why they added fire making, right? Not that I agree with that, but that's the thinking. So it is different. It is different. You have to get them earlier now. Which is why I think the fire making thing is so stupid, because the point is to let those players have a chance, except the reality of the situation is they just get hit earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying there. And then in this situation, like I still think if you think you can beat Christina, you think you can beat Sophie, you think you can beat Rizzo, if you're Sage. If you lose one of those people, you know you can get rid of the other one of them at five, one of the two threats at five. So, yes, you're going into four with a threat. But if you're going into four with Steven, I still think she has the argument. Whereas Millen Barrows here says, Savannah says Sage tried to get me out this entire time and failed. Destroy Sage at final three. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I don't think Steven had that same argument. And like you said, Adam, the players know what's going on. Even if what they're saying doesn't necessarily make sense to the audience, we should be trusting what they're saying. But I just think Sage underestimated.
Can we talk about why? And I think they are correctly viewing that they can beat Rizzo at the end. But can we talk about why that is? Because from the audience's point of view, Rizzo has played very well. Why do they not view it that way? Why do they look at him as sort of a joke? Is it kind of like just because he puts on such a show? I mean, maybe the show itself isn't the reason why he's doing so well. I think like maybe they think that he thinks that I'm going to win this game because I'm making a big show at every tribal council. And they're like, your shows at tribal council, I haven't changed anything. But in addition to the hoopla around his actions at tribal council, he's also playing a good game back at camp. And I think they're not seeing it. Is that fair?
I have a thesis statement I told Phil before we started, where it's like what he's doing with an idol, I feel like is the, when we look at back at 49, has anybody used an idol so publicly to get a step ahead? I think everybody's had the moment in their head of, if I had an idol, I would lie to people and say I'm going to play it and then don't play it. And then it gets me two rounds. Well, he's been doing that for 7 or 8 rounds now. Right. And it's one of those things where, in my head, what just kind of unlocked it was, if the people aren't smart enough to flush your idol, they're also not smart enough to kind of feel how good this gameplay is. I have been using this as basically an alliance member that's on, has my back, has my side. You can't beat me, Savannah, Sophie, and this idol. Like, you guys are afraid of it. It's a presence in the game that I am not relinquishing at 10, 9, 8, 7. And I think it's something that the people on the jury don't understand how good that gameplay is, because it's just something of like the reason I got voted out is because I was playing both sides.
Or do they not credit Rizzo for this, even though that's what he's clearly trying to do, because they never wanted to vote him out in the first place. And so it's like, yeah, we're not targeting you because we're scared of your idol. We're not targeting you because we are not scared of you in general. And we don't care if your idol stays in the game and you stay in the game and I go to the end with you and beat you. I mean, again, I don't know why they would think that. I think maybe it's his youth or his cinema or the way he speaks or whatever, that they're just sort of discounting him as a player. But they may be not voting for him, not only because of the idol stuff, or maybe not because the idol stuff at all, but just because they're just not afraid of him.
Yeah. And that's where I would call into question, like, what was the plan of everyone from final, the merge on final 12, final 10? If I can't get Savannah out, why am I not taking out Sophie or Rizzo? What is the point of letting that trio keep going forward? Yes, the MC boot basically gave them the game, but gave them the opportunity to go further. Who cares if Rizzo is threatening you at final 10? If you vote Rizzo out right there, we have a completely different final five at this finale. So in my mind, if it's, we didn't ever want to vote you out, Rizzo, we wanted to vote out Savannah. Well, you haven't been putting any pressure on Savannah's alliance whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And you have to put pressure on that alliance or vote somebody out. Oh, let's get rid of the snake. Let's get rid of the head of the snake. Let's get rid of the arm of the snake. Whatever it is, we hear
just
that.
Take out a Savannah number, even if you're not afraid of Rizzo. Mm-hmm.
And whenever they do take out Yellow Sophie, Savannah and everybody's like, I actually want to do that too. Great idea. And you're like, if your opponents are going great idea, you should be flipping back and being like, Sophie, we need to keep you around now.
Right. That's
like,
exactly.
What has the thought process been for the counter alliance? Like, it's insane to me.
Right. Right. When they were getting ready to discard Sophie S, Savannah and Rizzo picked her up. Right. And so when Savannah and Rizzo were ready to discard Sophie S, the other side probably should have picked her up as well at that point.
Well, and so, okay. I think also what's making this weird, because when you ask, like, why is Rizzo not going to get votes if Rizzo sits at the end? Why is nobody seeing him as a threat? I find that confusing, too. I mean, look, I got the text from my dad last night. Rizzo, I hope you're listening. I got the text from my dad. I can't believe he's going to cry his way to a win. That's what my dad said last night. That's how he took it. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I know. But the thing is, and my dad was like, I like the family stuff. I'm just tired of, like, the theatrics. That's really what it came down to. And so what's funny is I think most of the audience is kind of looking at Rizzo as he's going to win. He's got a real shot to win. But I think that if you're one of like us, if you really watch the show closely, you're saying, no, it doesn't really feel like it because the jury's rolling their eyes every time he does anything. And so here's what I say about this. There's something weird about the way that this group has come back that makes it feel like they didn't actually make the comeback themselves. Like, they were down 7-3 after the Nate boot. The tribe splits at final 10. They all agree to vote out Alex at 9. At 8, Jawan gets blindsided. Great move by Sophie, Rizzo, Savannah. And then at 7, they all decide to vote out Sophie. At 6, they all decide to vote out Steven. So it actually hasn't felt like this alliance has overcome everything, right? Does that make sense? So it's like, it doesn't feel like they've overcome as much as they really have, because it doesn't actually look like there's an alliance on there. This isn't Foa Foa versus Galoo, where it was 8-4. You have to flip 2, and then you still have to flip people. This was, we can all get on board with that. We can all get on board with that. And I think that's why Rizzo's game isn't working right now. I think Rizzo is very wisely playing up everything that he can, because he realizes that he's not actually doing anything, right? Like, he realizes that he's not having to make a major move. And then he's saying, well, I got to pretend that this idol really needs to do something so the eyes stay on me. And it seems like it's just falling on the jury like deaf ears, you know? But I feel like with Rizzo at this point, it should feel bigger and it should feel more important to us as an audience, because we knew that he was outnumbered 7-3. But at the end of the day, if Rizzo never gets up one time at Tribal, he's still in the game. And if he doesn't play his idol for anybody, his whole alliance is still in the game. So it doesn't actually feel like Rizzo's overcome a lot, although he's trying. I think he's doing everything he can right now, and he's not playing a bad game. I think he's playing a very good game, but the jury's giving him no credit for it because he hasn't actually been the decider on really anything except for Alex.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it almost makes it more impressive that they have done this with such little opposition, but it certainly makes it less entertaining. Like, yeah, think about like the Foa Foa 4 or whatever, and Russell and that group somehow finding a different way to survive every time, whether it was be a perfect idol play or getting them to flip on Eric or like, you know, like little, every move was like different and just barely worked. Mm-hmm. Right. This one, it's like such a massive victory. But it, yeah, it makes it feel a little bit less, exciting and earned, even though, you know, they're still getting all those votes to go the way that they want it to. It just almost, yeah, feels easier somehow.
Let's stir this up. So this is Chris 727. Rizzo's idol is the reason Savannah's still in the game. When Savannah has been vulnerable, the worry has always been Rizzo might play his idol. I don't necessarily feel like that's true,
though. Yeah, I don't agree with that either. Savannah has kept herself in the game via immunity wins. And then the only time that she was really vulnerable, they all were happy to go after Sophie.
Yeah.
Which is bad. Like, that's crazy to me. What one other layer too for you, Phil, because we've been talking about this for like 10 weeks now. You've been a blue Sophie has a real shot at this, and then that episode happened last night.
Yeah.
Is there still a chance for her to win, or is that running into a brick wall going 40 miles per hour?
I mean, I think she's dead. I think she's totally dead.
This was not a good tribal council for her in any way.
And I wish I was wrong. I mean, so here's what she said last night on Twitter, because this is out there. So let's read it. It was a planned unanimous vote. Before tribal, Christina told me about Steven's block of vote, but she didn't know the specifics of it. Had I felt unsafe before tribal, I would have taken the idol. Had Sav not won immunity, I would have taken the idol. Only threat option was Steven. And somebody said, did you have an idea that the idol expires at final five? And she says it was my idea to say if expired at final.
That makes no sense. That makes absolutely no sense. If you know that the idol is good until five, and you know that all the votes are going on Steven anyway, steal the idol. No, steal the idol and be safe at five. I just don't understand that.
And
at
she's
all.
The perfect person who could like play it off with a wink and a, I'll take that. I'll be the one safe at five.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even if she's not going to vote out Rizzo, she's so like cute and giggly and whatever that she could.
Thanks
totally
for keeping my idol safe for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, thanks Rizzo. Even if she told him beforehand, I have this knowledge of power. She could say, you thought I wasn't going to use it against you. You know what I mean? Like she, and make it just like fun and lighthearted, but now she's also safe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm confused. Like, cause the story we're being told is nobody knows that this thing expires at five. They all think it expires at six.
Which is crazy, by the way. How did they believe that? Did any of them watch the show?
Well, and that's where the
show before,
how are they not going to give Rizzo credit for that lie if he sits at final three? Cause I think that's a phenomenal lie that they would all eat it up.
It shouldn't have worked. It shouldn't have worked.
I'm not hungry. I'm not on the island. I haven't played Survivor, but I think as soon as somebody tells you, oh, it expires at six, I'm like, just you giving me that information has to be like,
why would it expire at
six? Why would you tell me that too? Oh, because it's probably not true. Like, it's the age old like mole thing of everybody that's trying to be like, I'm the mole is probably not the mole. And the only person who's going, I'm probably not the mole is the mole. And like, oh, my idol expires at six. As soon as you say that, I'm like, okay, let's think about this a little harder than going, okay, boss, thank you for the information. Let's vote out someone else.
Whether they would have voted him out, like if they knew he wasn't going to play his idol, I still don't know. I still don't know if they see him as enough of a threat, but it did seem like they bought the whole final six thing. At least Sage, she was like, what the heck, you stinker, or whatever she said. Like, she for sure bought that.
A big poop person. So yeah, she said the word ever turd.
She talks about poop. Okay, Adam.
Yes.
He's a turd. No, I feel like too. And now knowing
those, I don't get it.
Knowing this from Sophie, look, if all of this isn't Monday morning quarterback, and this is what was going through her mind at the time, and this isn't just like I've slept on this forever and I've been thinking about this. Look, I mean, I've changed stories in my life too. And so when you sit there and you think about all of the information that we now have from Sophie, why, like, what benefit do you get to win the game from stealing his block of vote? You don't get a benefit. Like, you really do not get a benefit. You get a benefit from stealing Rizzo's idol. And yeah, like you said, you can play it off.
Even if giggle, you don't want to vote Rizzo out.
Yeah. Even if you still vote Steven out, make that idol yours. Because now here's the other situation, right? Let's say that she had done this correctly. Now that I know this, I actually think this is even worse of a move. Let's say she had done this correctly. Let's say she had stolen Steven's block of vote. Steven goes home and she's able to make this her move, almost like Noelle did back in 43, where she was able to kind of do like the steal a vote or the extra vote or whatever it was. And it set it up where it was like, no, this becomes Noelle's move now. And everybody was like, well, that's bad. We don't want her to get the move. And so when you look at this, if she plays this successfully, what happens at the next episode? Steven goes home. She has a block of vote. Maybe she doesn't know when it expires. Rizzo has an idol. Savannah has the best chance of winning immunity. And if you did do this successfully, and if the jury is eating it up, you might now be the biggest target in the game. So if Savannah
without
wins
an idol
with, and Rizzo has the idol, you have no way to protect yourself. Whereas if you just steal the idol, if she steals the idol here, she ensures that she is sitting in the final four.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's no, to me, this is, you know, I've been trying to give like the benefit of the doubt out for a lot of moves here. This was a mistake. There's no way you can swing this one where it's not a mistake. And the I'll take the counter argument that I think could come, which is, well, Rizzo's not going to trust me. Rizzo and Savannah are not going to trust. Who cares? You've made it to the final four. It doesn't matter anymore, right? They don't trust you. Who cares? You're playing an idol.
Yeah.
So there's nothing you can do to upset somebody at this point if you are going to have an idol in the next round. Yeah. And as long as you steal it with the intention to not play it the night that you steal it, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think mistake. And I feel like she had
because she's played a really, really good game up until this point. But you do something like this right at the end, the jury will not forget that.
Well, and the thing is, too, like, she's playing, people are going to laugh at this, but she's playing a similar game to Gabler, right? Where it's very quiet. It's a very methodical, go along with it, make your move, have your one moment, go along with it, kill it at Final Tribal because you have a better argument than everybody else, right? The problem is her move here, it didn't work. So when I'm watching this episode and I think about what has Sophie Bellarity done, she survived the Disaster Tribe.
Mm-hmm, that's a big one.
She survived two more tribal councils, right? Mm-hmm. So she has survived the most tribals. Mm-hmm. But since the merge, what has Sophie Bellarity done to control this game? Nothing. She hasn't done anything. And last night was
with Rizzo and Savannah. I mean, they have taken over.
But Sage has been the one who's done all the votes. It's been Sage's decision, it feels like, except for Jawan. And Jawan was not Sophie Bellarity. I think Savannah would get more credit for that. I think that Rizzo might even get more credit for that. So to me, I just don't know
really, I think they let Sophie S. drive that one.
That's true, too. So what does Sophie Bellarity take credit for? This was her moment. She peeked her head up. She got nothing, though. And so would I be the most satisfied if Sage or Sophie Bellarity win this season? Yes, I would, because of the 50 information. Like, I would still be more satisfied if it's not Rizzo or Savannah, even though I like them both a lot. Blake's just shaking his head, but I feel like at this point, like, how does Sophie Bellarity win the game after last night? It's final six when she does that.
So Savannah's going to win Survivor 49 next week. And I think it's time to stop pretending because she has one more immunity win.
Two more.
And then she's going to crush fire or win immunity at Final Four. She's going to walk into a thing and say, you guys have been trying to vote me out legitimately since that man Nate left. And look how many people are here. I've broken the record for immunities or times, whatever. You guys don't respect Rizzo, and Sophie just blew it there. Should we go over the next 2 hours, or do you just want to do unanimous now? And that's going to rub one person wrong, Christina. I think Christina's going to lose in fire or something. Of like, they use her as a layup, to borrow a term from like the challenge of, we take this person because we know she's not going to win fire, and that gets our trio to the end. Of that just helps everybody, instead of, I don't think we're going to have a Rizzo versus Savannah fire making challenge or whatever. But I definitely think, how does Savannah lose? It feels like pretty much everybody just fell over backwards for her over the last 2 weeks, and it's insurmountable at this point.
Look, in real time, winning immunity at five is still not a foregone conclusion, right? And if she loses immunity, she's out, right?
You would think.
Or Rizzo plays the idol?
Rizzo saves her.
Why would he do that?
He knows he can't.
So look, yeah. It's easy to say watching the show how obvious it is Savannah's going to win, whatever. But if you're out there in real time and you're like, there's only one person that's for sure going to win here, and all we have to do is one of the four of us has to beat her at a challenge. It's not that.
Wouldn't it be ironic if a person named Sophie was the one to do it 27 seasons later, 26 seasons later, whatever. Wouldn't that be ironic?
Like taking out Ozzy?
Yeah.
Nobody thought it would be her. Interpreted the word ironic.
And then Sophie goes and wins.
But that is so plausible. Put yourself in real time. There's five people left. All we have to do is not let her get to the end. It's not that crazy.
So let's do this real quick, because I know Blake just wants to take his victory lap.
I have an actual thought too. Don't worry.
All right, if you have an actual thought, you're allowed.
Once again, we're watching the show. I've never been hungry on the island before, but I think that is when you are watching on the bench after you lost, and I just feel like Savannah's final 10 win was such a Terminator, like lock in, like, I am terrified of this woman if I am not on her side. The fact that she did get through a round without immunity since that win is one of those like, oh, all you have to do is beat her at five. I think watching that final 10 one is like, I can't beat this. I can't beat Savannah when it's time to lock in. I need to get her out before the end game.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know though if there's going to be a puzzle or something else, right? Like, it's the challenges have suited her really well, the endurance ones, but they're not all like that, right?
And the ones that she has won, and look, Savannah, I know Savannah will take this personally if I say that she's only
Savannah won. Deserved all of those wins. No, and will
if
win
I say
again.
That she only won ones that favored her, she's going to be like, you go do it. Sophie Bellarity fell out in 2 seconds. But I will say, Savannah is very strong. It's clear. Like, she was good in the individual she was good in the team portion of the game. Her tribe never lost. They didn't have a Jax person on their tribe. She's good at this portion too. And if she's going to keep getting these types of challenges where it's, let's test your hips, she's going to win every time. Like, it's just clear that she's better than everybody else at those. Blake is laughing and shaking his head, and a lot of people in the comments be like, Phil, you're being dismissive of Savannah. Okay, but was I being dismissive of David Kinney last season when I said anything that works out your buys, he's going to win? Like, him and Joe were going head-to-head and all of that stuff. David goes out. Joe almost breaks the immunity record. So what happens on this season? Savannah and Sophie are going head-to-head in all of them. Sophie gets voted out. Savannah might almost break the immunity record. It's like they get too stuck in their similar challenges for particular seasons. Last season was so much about arm strength and just pure brute physicality. And now this season has been so much about finesse and just being able to endure the pain and have more of like a strong core. I'm not going to knock Savannah for going and dominating. If she breaks the record, good for her. But I just think that Survivor's not mixing it up at all. But then again, what does Savannah do in the first challenge last night? It has nothing to do with any of that. And she wins the reward challenge. And that was like a race, which we barely ever see on Survivor anymore. I just think that it's very, it's fascinating how Survivor gets so committed to one style of challenge that does favor certain people. And they did it in 48 and it was stupid. And that's why Joe and David kept winning everything. And they're doing it again in this season. And it's why Savannah and Sophie have won every one of them, except for I think Steven won two, but one of them was a man and a woman has to win. So I just think that they need to mix it up more. So when I'm going into this final five, I'm saying, yes, Savannah's going to win this because she is the strongest out of these people based on what the challenges on Survivor 49 are. If they had to go and hold up the ball in the one that Joe and David did for like 3 hours last year, she's not winning that. She's not, but that's not what this challenge is.
Fast forward to next week. It's the ball.
She's going to win that one too.
She's going to somehow find a way to do it with her legs and she'll win it that way. Everybody else is in their hands.
You got to have a strong core, bro.
What were you saying, Adam? You think you'd win that one?
No, I think she could win that one too. Especially
well, based on who's left. I agree with you. I do. But let me ask this. Cause this is what I wanted to ask before.
Ask away.
Let's say she does lose in the first part of this episode. And Blake, I know that for you, that's going to be hard to do because you've already gone out to wherever.
All my winner picks lose unanimously in the finals.
They do. So let's say she does lose. Sophie, Rizzo, they both vote for. Is it a unanimous 4-1 vote? And then who wins the season?
Christina.
Are you reading my Instagram messages? Because somebody literally just messaged me that on Instagram and said Christina would win. Okay, so I can't tell. Blake does not have access to our Instagram, but I literally just, I'm looking at my phone and I literally just got that message. But okay, truly.
I don't even know if Steven would vote for Christina.
He literally said he wouldn't based on what he said last night. If she's a sloppy ally, that's probably one of the worst things somebody has said about an ally in 5 years of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They called me a terrible ally at one point, but that was not that didn't seem fair. I was a good ally.
You would think that's not fair.
Zeke called me a terrible ally, and to be fair, I was a terrible ally to Zeke because I was not aligned with Zeke.
It's crazy how that works, huh?
Good enemy though.
I liked.
Sage would win that. Then let's answer your question real quick.
Sage, right? Is that what you said?
Sage.
Yes. I think Sage. I think that Rizzo has played a very good game, and I don't know why they are so dismissive of him, but it does feel like the jury is dismissive of him, and you have to look at the jury and not like what you think is an audience member who's playing a good game. And I think, yeah, the jury is rooting for Sage.
Is Rizzo just too much of like a little brother at this point? Because I don't think there's anybody on the island who dislikes him.
Here's my Rizzo take that I have thought since literally episode one.
Oh no.
I say this with so much love and respect. To me, he reminds me so much of my good friend David Jelinski. He has the same youthful sort of bravado and energy. And I think that David talks a big game. Rizzo talks a big game. And when you say I'm the best, I'm the Riz God or I'm the legend or whatever, you're going to get some people that roll their eyes and say, well, you can't possibly actually be that. Right. And so the more you self promote, the more other people then want to sort of cut you down at times. But I think that they both have this like this charm that I think if David lasted longer, the audience would have reacted to him the same way that they are reacting to Rizzo. Imagine Rizzo does not have Alex not be able to find that puzzle piece in episode one, and he just sucks at that challenge. And then imagine he like goes on some other journey where he's forced into an impossible situation, and then he's on the disaster tribe and they lose. I think that like their journeys could have been similar.
Parallel.
Yeah. And I think Rizzo got much more, I mean, he played well, but he also, I think, got much more fortunate than David did, certainly in his first episode, where everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think if their fortunes were reversed, then you could have seen a similar trajectory.
It's I love that take. And I think the idea of it is really good. And it's something, I forget who said it, but we were talking about it not too long ago on one of the podcasts where we said the jury can't view you as a character. And I don't remember if we said that on one of our Every Season Matters, Blake, or something like that. But it's, if the jury views you at Final Three as a character, you can't win. Even if they love you, you cannot win, right? That's what happened to Ben in 46. Not saying all that jury liked him. I know that jury was pretty ruthless. But, like, they viewed him as a character. So he can't win when he sits there at the end. And you see that often. 44, Carolyn. They all love Carolyn. Franny wants to be Carolyn. She wants to be her so much she doesn't give her $1 million, right? That's how much she wants to be Carolyn. So for me, it's like you see people play, and I think Rizzo is falling into the character element of things. He's wearing the flippers walking forward on the beach, right? These are moments that are sticking with people. I find it funny. Like, I enjoy, I will say that Rizzo, Savannah, Sophie, Sage, Christina, Steven, that dynamic that we've gotten from those six is not a repetitive dynamic. And I think that's a good thing, considering in the new era, I feel like there's been a lot of repetitive dynamics season after season after season. I don't feel like that's the case here. They're all bringing their spice to the season. And I agree with you, Adam, what you said 44 minutes ago, this season's not nearly as bad as people are making it out to be. But I just feel like Rizzo right now, Sage is also falling into a little bit of the character territory, but I think Sage would be able to pitch her game at the end in a way that people go, oh shit, we haven't seen this. This is so much better than I thought it was. Whereas Rizzo, I feel like what you've seen is what you're going to get. And Temisian Papo says, wasn't Fabio a character in Survivor 21? He won. He was. He also
that
sat
was
next
36
to
years ago too.
Which really helps. So that's just my feeling on Rizzo. I feel like he's fallen into character territory for the players.
Speaking of Rizzo, I'm not sure how much Adam watches Digging Deeper, but about four episodes in, I had a Rizzo theory of, we do know a couple people that are going to be on 50, so you got to pay attention to these people. If Rizzo makes it to Final Tribal Council, how could he possibly lose? He's so fun to be around. He's so whatever. We had a first episode thing where he copies the work from Alex. He doesn't do the hard work to beat Alex in the challenge. We see him get an idol where he doesn't do the work. His allies get the idol for him and say, here you go. Go put this key in there. Mm-hmm. We see him get a perfect swap where he never has to sweat. He is with his alliance in the swap. We actually could throw these, get both of these Hina members out of here. Not really anything he did himself. And now I feel like that can go keep going with his idol. Of yes, that idol was a freebie for you, but you never had to cash it in. You never cashed it in correctly. You're cashing in it at Final Five, which is the least cool cash in. This idol did all the work for you. You didn't do all that work. It seems like a lot of Rizzo's stuff that you can pinpoint and look at doesn't seem like hard work. But what's interesting is I don't see a lot of hard workers on this season of the show. Of he's whipped votes for at least two votes since Final 10, where he was playing the game very harder, more than other people. But I think very harder. I think this perception of a lot of this has been done for you from an idol, or you got lucky, or because you're young, maybe you don't know. Like, all of this is going into why nobody wants to vote for him in the end, because somebody else has been playing harder, doing more of the work, has been vulnerable, won the immunities to save them, and that's more concrete for us.
The holding on to the idol, though, is a big move in and of itself, and the idol can't do the work for him if he doesn't continue to hang on to it. But I think the show that he's made of holding on to it every time is what has turned the jury off. Because if he could have more, you know, not softly, but like, I don't know, more, I mean, I guess more softly held onto the idol and not made a big show of it. Like, I think people, they want to be the star, everyone wants to be the star of the show. And if you are taking everybody's thunder for every vote, imagine you go home from tribal council and you feel like, I just ran that vote, but everyone's going to remember Rizzo getting up there and making a speech, but he didn't actually do anything. I'm the one that controlled that vote. And then they go to the jury and they're kind of bitter because now they're voted out. And the guy who is getting all this perceived credit from what they believe the audience's reaction is going to be, when they feel like they did more, that may result in some of that bitterness potentially.
Yeah, and I think that that's totally fair. And I think that when you look at what Rizzo has done, what's the benefit to him walking up and saying, Jeff, I'm not going to play it. Yeah, it gets the heart rate going. And look, it's great TV. How much of this is because Jeff said, hey, if you do this kind of stuff, you could be on 50? I don't know. Like, hopefully we get answers from Rizzo soon. You know,
there
Rizzo
could be some jealousy associated with that, even with like them thinking that he might be getting a spot on 50 because of this.
Yeah. And here it is. He says two OG specialists, Adam Klein and Rizgod. There you go. I mean,
hey.
There you go. Johnny Fairplay fingers over here from Adam Klein. But so, yeah. So when I watch this, though, it's like, is there part of that? Also, somebody said something about like a showman here. Did you guys watch Arrested Development? Are you guys Arrested Development people?
Yes. No?
Yes. Adam, do you watch that?
I have seen episodes, but yeah.
Okay. Blake, you know when Job breaks out of prison?
Yes.
Yeah, he gets into prison and then he's a magician who says, I'm going to break out of prison. And how does he break out of prison? He gets shanked and taken out in the ambulance. Like, and he goes, ta-da. That's kind of what it feels like with Rizzo right now. Rizzo kind of feels like the guy who is just like, he keeps doing all this stuff with the idol, but nothing's happened. And he's just going to sit at final three and go, ta-da. And everybody's going to go, yeah, but you didn't do it. Like, it wasn't you. So that's the best analogy I could come up with is that.
I think it's not fair, though. I think it is a lot of good gameplay that has resulted in him being able to hang on to that idol.
I do and agree
I don't
with you there.
Really I just understand the why they're so dismissive of him.
Yeah.
Now you're a voter, and it's Rizzo versus Savannah. Currently, right now, let's just say there's a final five. For the first time ever, there's a final five tribal council. Rizzo versus Savannah. I feel like Rizzo's stuff is a little more subtle or not in your face. That's the same word, different ways. But I think Savannah has the, like, I was playing for my life level of this. And also the, like, my stuff is more concrete. And I think when they show stuff like, oh, I'm actually a lawyer or I'm actually a news reporter, it's like, are we getting that hint? Because she's going to be very good at Final Tribal Council, or why would that be in there if it's not relevant for the end?
And also, yeah, I mean, I feel like when you look at Savannah's game, will they give her the win mainly based off of immunity challenges, right? Like if she's sitting next to Rizzo, like the Rizzo stuff makes sense, why it's making TV, why he's asked back. It's like Sugar was everybody's favorite in America. Then Russell's everybody's favorite in America because they're the ones who are making the most TV. They're making the most show. Every time Rizzo stands up, you go, here it comes up. Oh, no, fake out. But I hear what you're saying here, Blake, with like, what's the argument if each one is sitting next to each other? And that's where I still wonder, even though Sophie Bellarity absolutely blew it last night, could she still potentially win? If let's say Savannah's argument right now would be, what would her argument be? It'd be very similar to the Parvati Stans argument of why Parvati is the best player of all time, which is she's always the target. It's always her and she always finds a way. Well, I have proof from votes that that's not true, where people were voted out before her when she was able to be voted out, right? That seems to be the same case here with Savannah, because let's look at when Savannah was in danger of going home, when she didn't have immunity, the Nate vote. How many votes did she get? Zero. And I know people say, oh, we're worried about the idol, whatever. But again, you're not taking the risk to get her out. You don't think she's such a big threat that you have to get her out. She's immune at the MC vote.
That was a big, we should go back to that because the MC vote and the Nate vote feel like the two biggest mistakes of the season.
100%.
When you have the element of surprise, and this goes back to Sage and Juwan. When you have the element of surprise because they don't know that you're not with them, that is the perfect time to strike at the person who has the idol, right? Mm-hmm. And sure, one person is not going to like that, Steven or whoever was getting the other votes. Sorry, right? You want our votes. I'm Sage and Juwan. We want to take out the biggest threat. So yeah. Either you take, I would probably just, they should have just gone for the idol itself, voting for Rizzo.
100%. I mean, I think 100% that at the Nate vote, you, they kept talking about, we got to take out Savannah or Rizzo. We got to take out Savannah or Rizzo. Well, then take one of them out. Don't take out Nate.
Rizzo, because you take the idol and the player.
And then at final 10, I get that Savannah is safe, but you should be going after Rizzo because, again, Juwan and Sage aren't in danger, so that's their mistake. But what my point is with this is Savannah did get three votes at the Juwan vote, 3 out of 9. She got one vote at the Sophie Segretti vote, 1 out of 7. She never got even remotely close to half the votes at any of the tribals where she was actually vulnerable. So if her pitch at final tribal is, everybody constantly wanted me out and I had to keep winning immunity. Okay, that's a fair pitch. But if you're sitting next to her, you can easily discredit that and say, but the two times you didn't win immunity, you stayed in the game and really weren't even close to going home. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that could be an argument for her as well. She can turn that around and say, and here's why I got myself out of that.
But again, did she act? But then will the jury, who is clearly having some feelings over there, will they actually say Savannah got herself out of that? Or will they just say, no, we had other things that we wanted to do. You weren't actually that big of a deal until final six. That might have been the most clutch one.
I think they will. And it's I just think about my own experience and I think about somebody like Jay, right? Jay, if he had made it to the end, would not have won because he made such incredible moves to save himself. It would be because everyone else is an idiot for not taking any of these many opportunities that we had to vote you out, right? So it's not, it's like, it's as much a bad knock on everybody else as she doesn't necessarily need to say, here's all these amazing things I did to save myself. It's more just like you knew I was a threat and you never took the chance to get me out. That's on you.
Yeah. Yeah. And if she does end up breaking the immunity record for the women and tying the men's record, which no woman has done in 49 seasons, that's probably going to be enough to sway any voters who are like, I don't really like you. I'm going to vote for you anyway.
That's the thing that blows my mind was like, watching final 11, final 10, final 9, where people are like, I hate Savannah's freaking guts. There's no way she'll ever win this game. And it's like, well, too bad you guys spoiled it and said she's coming back for 50 because I know this is going to change somehow. And like 4 months later, 4 weeks later, it's like, if Savannah's there, I would have to support her. And you're like, it's crazy what 2 weeks can do on an island of like it. I think that's something where if you ever go on Survivor and you're like, everybody hates me, not play exactly like Savannah, but like have the thing in the back of your head of like Savannah was drawing dead after Nate left and has somehow made it to a dominant position. Like keep going.
Yeah. I mean, that final, you're right, Blake, final 11, final 10, final 9. I mean, that's the difference. That's the difference in this game right now. And that's, again, when people say last night's move was dumb for Sage or Christina, it's like, no, the moves that you made earlier in the game, that's where you made your mistake, because if Savannah's not there, you're in the driver's seat to win anyway. And this was a cast that I feel like Juwan and Sage, and this might sound like an insult to the rest of the cast, so apologies, but it's like, this is a cast where Juwan and Sage, if they had made the right move at final 10 on the MC vote, they might have been able to stick their heads up and say, we're the biggest threats and still get to the end. Because Savannah and Sophie and Rizzo, to some extent, have done it. And I know people say, oh, well, Steven, well, Sophie. But every time Steven or Sophie Segretti, somehow they keep being seen as bigger threats than Savannah, it's like, I just don't get it. I don't know. I just don't get it.
That is a... I think we talked about this in our Digging Deepers. Maybe one of these, I think I did the merge one for the recap. It's like Sage and Jawan have the power position, but Sage is not being as proactive. Is it a strategy so she doesn't get the biggest target? But it's also going with the flow for those votes puts her in a losing position here, where we can be like, what was Sage's plan?
Because if Sage wins, or if Sage gets to the end against Savannah or against Rizzo, do you think she has a chance to win?
Sage against Savannah and Rizzo?
Yeah.
I mean, based on the show we're watching, no. In real time, would I have thought that? Yeah, I think maybe, because if they don't respect Rizzo and they don't like Savannah, then yeah. And there has been some indication that they don't all like Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Jawan is voting for Sage no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
In that scenario, Christina would vote for Sage. So it is. I think Sage is a, do you win immunity at Final Five? And then we all go, that was actually genius.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not on 50, so.
It's got to be results-based.
I do think that Sage could win.
I said last night that I think Sage has the second best chance of everybody left. I think Savannah's the front runner, and I think Sage is second.
If all goes out.
Yeah.
Sage wins 50. I changed my mind last second, so I can be wrong again.
Here we go, too. Temusan Popo. I'm never going to get that right. The way everyone hugged Sage after she lost was mind-blowing. They totally ignored Savannah. I mean, we did watch that. That was very Gladiator, right? Everybody carry out Maximus while the Emperor just lays there dead. Like, it did kind of have that vibe of like,
spoiler alert. Jeez.
Dude, if you haven't seen that movie in 25 years, that's on you. Yeah. I can't help that. You don't know cultural phenomenons here. It's like, by the way, like Wizard of Oz becomes color at one point. Like
what? Whoa.
Yeah. It's just when I sit there and I see that, that was very telling. And I know that Savannah was feeling for Sage in that moment. Sage says to her after, I'm happy for you. I'm just sad for me. The reaction that Sage got though from that cast, like if Sage gets to the end, I still think they like her a lot. I just haven't seen her winning potential like the entire time. And I don't know. I just feel like the story we're being told isn't that Sage is some mastermind. It's that she's been playing an emotional game. And last night was almost made to look like an emotional move when it actually was very calculated.
The other thing for Sage, man, did I just lose my thought? But what happened was for her at Final Five, God, what was I about to say? It was gonna be something interesting.
It was gonna be so good.
Damn it!
Whatever. I know you were about to say you're genius, and I totally agree.
There we go. We got there. Thank you for hyping me up. It worked. You're a great person. The thought process when she says to Rizzo, your idol works next round. I think she knew that was a bad play if Rizzo's idol is good at five.
Mm.
Everything I was excited about, you freaking turd. I think we're going to open up next. The finale of Survivor 49 will be Sage going, I thought I was good to go for five, but this idol blew up in my face and I have to do a lot of work this round or I'm toast. And that's, because they've been going to Sage a lot for that who has got at a tribal, mm-hmm, or who has the best reactions after a tribal. I'm pretty sure it's going to be her starting off the episode and being like, oh, shit.
That's a really fair point, because when I was talking about it earlier, it's like now you're in a situation where you might need to convince Sophie to come to your side and let her know you can't beat Rizzo, you can't beat Savannah. You're in the situation of what she played out last night. She was assuming that Rizzo wouldn't have the idol, so she'd be able to get rid of either Savannah or Rizzo at the next tribal council.
Right.
Now that the idol is still in play, she knows that that's not the case.
Right.
Which sucks that they changed the idol rules to being good until five for the first time in Survivor.
Like, I know. It's
there's no way they could ever see that coming.
Do your homework.
That have ever worked on you? Ever?
Never, never, ever, ever, ever. Not in a million years. I would have been like, okay, and actually I would have agreed with it and then known for sure he is not going to play the idol tonight because he believes that the only reason you make this lie is so you can hold it mm-hmm. and play it at five. So that is a clear indication that he is not playing the idol tonight. And you can take a free stab if you want
to. And it's a great move. Again, he used an idol to get from six to four. Like he really did do, he's playing it with this idol. He's playing it similar to what Tony did in Kageon, mm-hmm. where it's, I have to exaggerate the use of this idol to scare people. Mm-hmm. And it worked. And yet, like we are all sitting here saying, I don't think he can get the votes at the end. That's just crazy. But
you could make the argument that it's actually more impressive than what Tony did because Tony had a super idol and could hold it without fear.
Yeah.
Or so he was able to bluff it, but also with not having to play it.
Yeah.
Or we're 6 months away from having 3 2-time winners, Savannah, Tony, and RIZGOD.
Wait, how are Savannah and RIZ?
I said the wrong name. Yeah. Sandra, Sandra, Tony, and RIZGOD.
Praise God,
baby.
Yeah, you gotta say it all, Blake. You gotta say it all. You can't leave us hanging like that.
By the way, before we end this, we need to do a 37-second spoiler segment for 50. Just tribal spoilers, no placement spoilers.
I would hope.
I want to get
placement spoilers, Blake.
I don't have placements. That's what I'm saying. So nobody gets afraid of it. But I want to do one layer of this is how Survivor works, you guys. But I don't know if we're ending soon.
I mean, I was going to ask this one last question here.
Oh, go for it.
Going into the finale, Adam, you've been watching since day one. I've been watching since day one. Blake had just watched Thailand for the first time 3 years ago, but pretended he'd been watching since day one. So
loser.
Missing the best season. We've all been watching forever. We've all seen these seasons so many times. What is your most satisfying ending here? And how are you feeling about 49 as a whole going into the finale? But what's your most satisfying? What would elevate it for you? And what would ultimately leave you with like I could have done without that 3 months of Survivor.
Most satisfying. I mean, I think that the most obvious conclusion is Savannah just wins out and wins, which good for her. I mean, an amazing game, not necessarily the most dynamic season in that case, right? I suppose it should be because she's been under target and under threat every step of the way. But because of the 50 of it all, I think that has made it a lot less interesting or exciting. I think a Sage win would be deeply surprising and but would make sense in retrospect, I think. And I think if Rizzo wins, I think it could make for a hilarious finish. And I would love to see him turn the jury around and get them to go from like laughing at him to going, I mean, shit. Yeah. You did do all that. You know, and if he can earn their respect, I think that that would be surprising and satisfying. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you left out Sophie there. And again, I thought Sophie was going to win the season until this week.
Look, Sophie, until this week, I really thought she could and maybe even would win the game. So if you caught me on another week, I would be so much higher on Soph. I mean, she's been a great character and a really good player. But this move this close to the end, not taking the idol, getting sort of embarrassed in front of the jury like that. I just don't see it.
Let me put in a situation that I would feel unsatisfied. And this isn't because of Sophie as a person. This is because of, this is where I would be like 50 influenced this season too much. If we do end up with a final three of Sophie, Rizzo, and Savannah, and Sophie wins that season, I feel cheated on what Sophie's true story really was. because at this point, I felt like she had to make the move correct last night in order to win the game. And if she could blunder it as bad as she did and still beat the two people that we know are returning for season 50 at a final tribal, I would be going, as Kelly Nalbandian said, what the hell, guys? Because it just doesn't, it wouldn't make sense to me. That wouldn't be Sophie's a dissatisfying winner. I'm unhappy with this, whatever. It would just be, why did this happen and why were we not actually told that story?
I mean, do you think if she wins, it's against the two of them?
Well, no, I'm just saying that would be my dissatisfying one. If she beats Sage and Christina, I'm okay with that. If she beats Christina and Rizzo or Sage and Rizzo, it's really more of like Savannah being in there too. Like if she were to somehow win in that situation, I'd
I mean, I just think that's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. But just in case it does, I just want to, you know, the elephant in the room is 50 and sometimes they do over edit their people who are coming back to play again. So that's all.
Yeah.
The most satisfying win for next Wednesday, Savannah loses immunity at final five, but somehow works her way into whether she's blackmailing somebody of like, I'm going to poison the jury. Like the last feather in Savannah's cap would be one more round of non-immunity getting through it by words. I think that would immediately catapult her into, of course, she's coming for 50. Yeah. Instead of a, that makes sense. She was a really good winner who won a lot of challenges. I think there's been some other times where, whether you're watching Big Brother, the other game, the Traitors, the Mole, like, oh, I thought they were dead to rights, and then they pull a one of a kind thing out. That would be the coolest thing that could happen. Even cooler if it's tricking Rizzo into having a moment of like, do I do loyalty? Do I go for my family? I thought I would come on this game and be all this, but just like we had Sophie have the moment of I'm going to choose friends over getting them out. If she does that to Rizzo at final five, I think that would be sick. And then it would be, that's amazing. Here we go. I think we're catapulting towards a Savannah win. And I think it'll be because who is going to beat her? Her category, her people are, you see how bad Rizzo is at challenges. You see how bad Christina is at challenges. We have highlighted time and again, Sophie hasn't won a lot. And then Sage, nobody left besides Savannah has won an individual immunity.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
Like she played that perfectly.
Yeah. I do also, we haven't talked about Christina at all, really. And I do just, you know, want to say that, like, I don't think she's played a terrible game. Like, I think we're only dismissing her chances here because I don't see the final three that makes sense. But I mean, she has been able to stay out of danger like the entire time. It's never even been a consideration, I don't think, to ever get rid of her. I connect with her a lot, just like with the story of her mom. And I know I can feel what she's like going through out there. And when she said, like, I just miss her. I just want her. Like I really felt that. So I've really enjoyed watching Christina. I know, that we're sort of dismissing the chances that she might win the game, but I think it's been, a lot of fun to watch her. And I think regardless of what happens, you know, she should be really proud of how well she's done, how far she's made it in the game that she's played. And I only say that because it's hard when you go through the season, you do really well, you make it all the way to the end, and then you listen to some podcasts or whatever, and like nobody even like considers like the chance that you might have or how you're playing, because it's just clear to the audience that it's not going to happen that way.
The editors didn't put in my good parts, only the bad parts.
Yeah. All right, Blake, ask your question so we can wrap this up.
Let me preface it for everybody. If you do not know the tribes, push off your podcast right now. Unfortunately, we came up with this theory, and by we, I mean pretty much everybody on the internet. Savannah and Rizzo are going to be on 50, and it is going to be, here's the tribes. Here's who they replaced in the casting process. Each of the eight tribes has a winner on it, except for the one that Savannah's on. Mm-hmm. I think Survivor needs to be better at that shit. of not leave the breadcrumbs where everyone knows Savannah's going to win the whole freaking season because we put a winner on each season or we put a winner on each tribe. And it's D, Kyle, who's the one who is on 49 on this tribe? Oh, it's Savannah. I do think that not ruined some of my enjoyment of this season and Savannah's dominant game, but it her dominant game did not come out of nowhere. Her dominant game was never in question because we can't cover our freaking tracks as a production company. And we've talked about this. I've talked about this with some of my friends. Pay Jawan. Pay Sage. You get to be in Fiji for the month of 50 because we just need to cover our tracks a little bit. That extra, how much money is that? I know they don't get to be with their family a little bit longer. That would be but you can FaceTime them all the time. Tell your NDA, NDA, NDA. Have something here where we don't immediately go, oh, well, Savannah wins because of one or two things.
I want to push back on this because everybody's been saying this from the beginning. And it's just not true that Survivor balances tribes with winners. It's not. It's not like they do this every time. You go back to All Stars, you had two winners on the same tribe and then another tribe with no winners. Heroes versus Villains, I believe, had one winner on the Heroes tribe and like three on the Villains.
How dare you, JT, right? And Tom, sir.
Okay, am I wrong about that?
Yeah, there's at least two there.
Okay, what how many were there on the Villains?
Sandra and
Harvard. Is that it? Okay, so they did balance it there. Anyway, I don't know. But the point is, they haven't always done it, right? Did they do it on Game Changers?
That I don't. Did they do it on 40? That's the real question. I don't know if they did it on Game Changers.
Did they do it on 40 winners?
Yeah, I mean, hey,
that's been our go-to joke for a while now.
Yeah. Survivor 34, did they do it on Game Changers? Let's find out right now. We'll go through it.
Let's find out. You had JT,
Sierra, Tony, Sandra. Caleb, Malcolm, Sandra.
Malcolm.
Oh. I'm listing the whole one red tribe. You guys have to count the winners on your own. Okay. Sierra, Tony, Caleb, Malcolm, JT. I'm sorry, not JT. Sandra, Varner, Sorry. Haley, Michaela, Aubrey, Troyzan. So two there. The other tribe, JT, Ozzy, Debbie, Zeke, Sierra, Andrea, Sari, Ty, Sarah, Brad, but there was only three on that season, so they couldn't get.
Well, Ozzy basically won, so that's two and two.
Not balanced.
Not balanced, yeah. They should have made a third tribe. They could have done a Sylvia Kwan thing and just threw somebody on a different beach.
There you go.
I'm definitely insider baseballing this of somebody that's worked in entertainment, but this is how you would set up the tribes if you had three winners.
I think here's what my problem is. And this is the last thing I will say, because Adam, I know you got to run here in 5 minutes.
Surprise everybody.
What's that?
Unless you wanted to surprise everybody, make them think that she's going to win. And then,
well, there's that, but here's my other part. Obviously the tribes and the two people from the season did not come from CBS and did not come from SEG or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, with the world that we live in what 2025 is, in the social media climate we live in, where like I knew everything about the Michigan football head coach's life over the last 24 hours. And I didn't even know that guy existed before yesterday. It's like everything happens so fast in our society. You have to know this stuff is going to get leaked. You have to know that this stuff is going to become public information, even if you don't release it, because that is what the Survivor community is. And if it gets leaked to one person, it's going to end up in comments on Instagram videos, on TikTok videos, on X. It's going to end up on YouTube channels. It's going to end up in all this stuff. None of us signed NDAs. None of the people who are posting this stuff signed NDAs. You have to assume it's going to spoil. So if Savannah does win this season, you say we just wanted to do it where she replaced Marianne. Okay. But you have to put her on a different tribe. You do. Because at the end of the day, these tribes are going to get leaked. Now, if she doesn't win, it's the same thing that Blake went through last season where he had a 98.6% chance that Joe was going to win. And how did that work out? So we'll just have to see.
I told you that.
Yeah. I mean, Blake and the rest of the internet for some reason thought he had it in the bag. And I just don't
know. Not me.
No.
Not me.
No, not us.
I'm not a specialist. Okay. I'm number one survivor. Okay.
I just wanted to say that. It's like my final.
I'm just a casual.
So, Adam, what do you got going on? What's your
final
pitch? Yeah, give your final pitch here of like, I'm leaving. You guys might not hear from me for a little bit. Where can people find you? What are you doing?
Oh, well, I'm still doing casting coaching stuff. And for the next 4 days, I'm still running my Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. It's the biggest sale I run every year. So if you've ever thought about signing up, you have 4 days to get it for the, you know, a cheaper price. And so I'm still doing that. I am divorced as of exactly 3 months ago. I cannot believe that I am saying that. So this has been like a very, very long and difficult year. If you ever want life to slow down, because I've always said like the last 5 years just went by so quick. I'm like, it was just 2020. How is it already 2025? And then this year, I feel like I've lived 6 years in 1 year. And so if you ever want to live longer, just go through something really, really terrible. And then time will slow to a halt. Yeah. Like January, when I thought that I was in an extremely happy marriage, feels like a lifetime ago.
Because you had to watch 48.
Is that why?
This is also why this advice you're giving is why Blake has lived the longest life of all time, because it's just been pure misery.
Really?
as a poor young kid in Texas.
He'll tell you later.
I might be moving to like Mexico City in January. I don't know. I'm starting.
Wait, but I'm supposed to be moving back to LA. You can't leave before I get there.
Well, I'm not in LA at the moment.
You're close enough.
But yeah, so I don't know. I'm just starting over and I'm doing better than I was doing 3 months ago and 4 months ago and 5 months ago. And, you know, every day, you know, one foot in front of the other. But boy, it has been a long and brutal year. I'll just say that.
But Beast Game Survivor's coming and you got Beast something Game to live
with,
for.
With Sue hugging Jeff Probst on Beast Games. Did you see this in the trailer?
That does not count for last year's prop bet game. I'm just saying that.
Right. That is crazy. That was not on my Beast Games bucket list.
Yeah. Crazy.
I've got clients on Beast Games, on the floor and 99 to beat and Big Brother and The Snake and Survivor and all these shows. So it's a lot of fun. And I'm very much still doing that work.
All right. Everybody check that out. And
AdamKlein.com/casting. That's my website.
That's what we needed. Also, we're doing 50% off our Patreon through the 17th. As soon as the premiere starts, that's out. So check that out. Now, Bryce and Wen are doing a discount for our listeners. I think you get 25% off either their New York or LA finale event. The promo code is Phil, PHIL, no capitals. So if you want to get into that for cheaper, if you're thinking about going, go buy a ticket. Patreon.com/specialists. Check out all of our stuff. And otherwise, I will be live on Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern time with Stephen Fishback for our finale predictions and power rankings. Very excited for that. Jesus, Blake, you can't put that, because if you pronounce that doesn't come out right.
Phil has a podcast.
Yeah, sure. All right. So that's what we got going on. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. McKenna and John will be live later with Survivor Rewind. McKenna and Kyle will be doing the Amazing Race finale tonight. Otherwise, I will see you all on Sunday.